RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe back as part of a regular part of our Sunday morning on Correct Weight Talking Horses. And Joe, we've just been talking to James Cummings, and the story, the backstory to Home of the Brave is a very interesting one, of the way he found his way here to that stable in Australia.
It certainly is, and he's always had a very strong Australian connection. As I say, good morning to you, Warren, and our listeners. I hope everyone's braving the winter chills okay at the moment, but Home of the Brave yesterday at Flemington was very strong, wasn't he, winning the Aurie Star Handicap, and notably too the riding performance of Damien Oliver. Warren, remarkable success in that race alone, but that brought up his 611th black type winner in Australia.
Remarkable, and his Group 1 record fantastic as well, and obviously came onto the scenes, burst onto the scenes as an apprentice from WA and been able to maintain that form for so long. Racing provides lots of ups and downs for all participants, but gee, hasn't Ollie been just a leading rider for so long? And Joe will definitely go down as one of our greatest.
He certainly will, Damien Oliver. Age shall not weary him. He's in his 40s now, well into them, but riding as good as ever, which is fantastic to see. Home of the Brave, he's a bit of a veteran too of the turf, a nine-year-old, this horse, racing in great form yesterday at Flemington. He was very strong down the straight, wasn't he? A really interesting story behind him, Warren. He was purchased by Flemington Bloodstock Agency for €80,000 at the 2013 Arcana August Yearling Sale. And then he raced for a syndicate that included David Moody and Troy Corson, whose father Leon, of course, trained to the horse's sire, Star Spangled Banner, to wins in the Group 1 Caulfield Guineas and also the Oakley Plate before he had his own European sojourn. Home of the Brave was sent to Hugo Palmer and won five races there, four of which were at stakes level. So he was a great performer for Hugo Palmer, a top trainer in the Northern Hemisphere who learnt a lot of his trades here in Australia. Hugo spent a considerable amount of time learning about racehorse training with Gay Waterhouse before venturing back home to take out his own licence. So Home of the Brave kicking off his career there with Hugo, the horse that won races all over the place. He even competed at Delmar as well and had a group placing there. And then came to Sydney where he ran in the Group 2 Theo Mark Stakes at Rose Hill, which he won. And that was only the first and only win that he had in Australia. And then 2 years after that, he returns back to Australia and wins the Aurie Star as a nine-year-old.
Remarkable sojourn, as you described, for Home of the Brave. And I think James was pretty proud that he was able to get that win on the board. It had been that little bit of time between wins, but he'd been racing well, and identifying that race and the conditions of that race down the straight really sparked piece of placement from Godolphin.
Yes, who made an astute purchase, didn't they, buying the horse for their very powerful global racing team. So a very interesting story coming out of Home of the Brave yesterday at Flemington. Another really interesting story, I thought, was the performance of Octane a little bit later in the day. What did you make of his effort, Warren?
I thought he was outstanding, Joe. One of the wins of the day. He's a horse that it looks like he's still... Maybe it's more his action than what he does, but he looks like he's still learning his craft to some extent, that little bit of a high head carriage, etc. But Jamie Carr just got him into a lovely rhythm yesterday, and it was just a beautiful ride to angle out and expose him at the right time. And the way he quickened on that ground, I think it was a great, I think, piece of education from the Stokes stable to get him racing in that manner in South Australia, and then identify the right race over here to bring him over. And I don't think it'll be the last race we see Octane win down the Flemington Straight in the months ahead.
And a bit like Home of the Brave, but he's had a very intriguing journey to victory at Flemington yesterday. And his trainer, Philip Stokes, is our first guest on the segment this morning. Good morning, Philip, and well done getting this horse into the winner's circle yesterday.
No, thank you, Joe.
He's got a great story behind him. He was sold for $1.4 million at the yearling sales, but things didn't exactly go off with a bang for him, as often is the case with these high-priced purchases. He didn't make a very exciting start at all to his career when he was with Kieran Maher and David Eustace, but since things have changed and he was sent to you across in Adelaide, he's turned the tables.
Yeah, he has. He was up at Peter Moody's farm spelling, and Ken McDonald, he recommended Ken McDonald. He sent him to us down here at Pakenham. So he came down here and we gave him two trials. He trialled up quite good, actually. And I thought this would, but then I had a look at his form and he's trialled up previously well. And I thought we'd just get him right down in grade. And we sent him over to Adelaide, and then he started to get a bit of a picket fence next to his name.
The turnaround. Now, you're a master with horses, whether they're troubled or not. But, Philip, what has been the key to getting this horse to turn his fortunes around, particularly his mentality on the racetrack?
Well, first of all, I think time does him great. That's one thing the horse needed. And credit to the team in Adelaide. They've done a great job, Kayla Crowell from her son Tommy. But we took all the gear off him. We thought, we'll just go back to basics. And as ugly as his action looks and his head carriage, when you're actually riding him, it doesn't feel like that. So we just let him do what he wanted to do and, you know, get out the back and do his thing. And, you know, he's happy doing it. And he got confidence and he's starting to build a nice record.
Yeah. How much do you think about a price tag like $1.4 million when you're trying to improve a horse like this? So you just park that in your own brain and just focus on getting the horse right?
Well, I'm very lucky I didn't buy the horse, so no pressure here. I've had expensive horses come through my stable before, and yeah, there is that expectation. Sometimes you might just wrap them in cotton wool a little bit too much. But I think this horse has just come good with time. You know, the Iron Invincible, they train on as older horses, and he's, you know, half to the quarterback, and I don't think he really came good till he was a five-year-old.
Well, this horse is earning a reputation now as a very genuine potential high-class sprinter, with wins now at six of his past seven starts. After yesterday, what's your thinking about the next couple of months, in particular the spring?
Well, he's a fresh horse. He likes his races space. He obviously loves Flemington, so that's a big tick. We're thinking maybe a race like the Fuel Guys Stakes. That'd be ironic because they were part owners of him and bred him. And then sort of see how far we can lift the bar with him.
How's he pulled up this morning?
Oh, look, he felt the run. So I'm just taking him up to our farm now and he can have a week on the grass. And, you know, we might look at going back to Flemington, I think, in 4 weeks' time.
Okay. And the ride, as you've highlighted, was excellent?
Yeah, we thought Jamie Carr would be the obvious choice. She's got lovely hands and, you know, obviously the horse is racing really well in Adelaide for Kayla, who's a similar sort of rider. And I don't think he likes to be knocked around. And he runs for those people, those hit girls that have got good hands, and let him do his thing.
It was interesting reading one of the news stories around this horse's win yesterday on racing.com. And Jamie spoke to Kayla about the horse via message, and her comments to her were, he looks like a really awkward horse, what's he like? And Kayla's response was, he's great, I love him.
That's right, yeah. They were a bit sad to see him leave the stables. Unfortunately for Kayla, she couldn't come over and ride him, but with the restrictions now, that was impossible.
Okay, how's the rest of the team going at the moment?
It's been a good season. We had 108 or 9 winners between the two states, so that was great. Got Mr. Quickie resuming later in the month. He's come back in good order. He's had a couple of jump outs. And I've got a couple of young horses that I'm sort of hoping they can step up to better races, like a horse called Savannah Cloud. I think he's quite a nice horse. And, yeah, hopefully we've got a few there.
And the COVID-19 pandemic, are you feeling the effect of that in any way on your business?
Not really. We're racing, so that's the main thing, and the owners are getting prize money, so we're very lucky. We obviously get temperature checked every day, and we've got to wear masks and social distancing, but look, it's okay. We're getting by, and there's no problems.
And horses performing like Octane did yesterday are a great tonic during this time. Good luck with him and the future plans, and well done on getting him back into the winner's circle.
Thank you very much.
Philip Stokes, they're a master horseman, isn't he, Warren? He's done a great job with Octane.
A real evolution, Octane, and the family have obviously got an affinity for racing down the Flemington Straight with the quarterback taking out of Newmarket as well. So he's looked well suited to that style of racing, and interesting that Phil's going to keep him fresh and target perhaps a race like the Gilguy, but you would think that he'll be winning more races, and that affinity for the straight could stand him in good stead during the spring. And that was definitely one of the highlights around Australia yesterday, Joe, but I think also one of the highlights was the dominant winner of Anders in the Rosebud in the Aquas colours in Sydney. He dominated that field.
Looks like they've got another good horse on their hands, doesn't it? Aquas Farms and Kieran Ma Racing purchased Anders for $670,000 out of the Arrowfield stud draft, Warren, at the 2019 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. Anders has now advanced his record to 3 wins from 7 starts with earnings of just over $200,000. His backstory breeding-wise, he's the 4th foal and 3rd winner from as many to race out of the War Emblem mare Madame Andre, which was imported in utero with her Japanese bred mare Glamour Stock, which is a half-sister to 3 stakes winners, including the champion 2-year-old colt in Canada, Exciting Story, whose 7 wins included the Grade 1 Metropolitan Handicap at Belmont. Although she failed to race, Madame Andre is certainly paying her way at Arrowfield. Her first foal to sell at Warren was the stakes place Schnitzel Colt Battleground, and it made $900,000 sold to James Harron Bloodstock. And at this year's Magic Millions, George Moore and Gary Moore made the final bid for Madame Andre's colt from the first crop of Shalar. They paid $360,000 for it. And she has a weanling filly by Schnitzel and was covered by Pariah last spring. A bit of a buzz around Pariah, isn't it? And Anders becomes now the 73rd stakes winner for the pensioned Not a Single Doubt.
Yeah, no doubt the performance of Anders yesterday and what he does subsequently will add some value, you would think, to those the progeny that you referenced that are yet to go through the sale ring.
Yes, indeed. And in some big news stallion-wise this week, another coup for champion Victorian sire Written Tycoon, Warren, because he's got a date coming up this spring with the legend Black Caviar.
Yeah, I think it's still big news where Black Caviar's going. Obviously, news about Winx's breeding program still attracts attention, but I think we'll always be intrigued for the remainder of the breeding career where the champion mare Black Caviar goes, and great to see her heading to Written Tycoon.
And will he potentially be then the key to her getting a decent horse of her own on the racetrack, Warren? Black Caviar, since being retired from racing, has had 5 foals. I Am Caviar, a colt by I Am Invincible. Ready for Caviar, a filly by Northern Ready. Another filly out of Caviar by Schnitzel. A colt by Sebring by the name of Prince of Caviar. And her first foal was a filly, Osietra, by Exceed and Excel. None of those horses have exactly set the world on fire, but we often see this, don't we, with champion mares. It's tough for them to go and produce horses of their own ilk on the racetrack.
It is, Joe, and you know a lot more about breeding than I, but maybe there's just a nick with a certain stallion that's going to really click, because the performances of a number of her progeny have been solid. They just haven't in any way gone to Black Caviar's level, but very few, if any, other horses will go through their career undefeated. Will be interesting to see how that mating with Written Tycoon ends up down the track.
Of course, Written Tycoon, Warren, was standing in Victoria at Woodside Park, but a number of months ago they did a deal with Arrowfield. He's been sent to the Hunter to see out potentially the rest of his breeding career and really get the best chance. And a lot of the philosophies behind this, Warren, was that this would enable him to get an opportunity with some of the best mares in Australia. And this recent story around Black Caviar justifies the decision. James Price from Woodside is our next guest on the Talking Horses segment this morning. How are you, James?
I'm well, Joe. How are you?
Very well. This is an exciting twist in the Written Tycoon story, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredible. And firstly, I must thank the owners of Black Caviar for allowing Written Tycoon an opportunity to cover their wonderful mare, and also Rick Jamieson, who obviously bred Black Caviar and had some sort of advice for the owners of the mare and the partnership led by Neil Werrett. So delighted for Written Tycoon, Woodside Park, as I mentioned, I was quoted, hopefully, you know, this mating can give the owners of Black Caviar, you know, some more wonderful moments on the track.
What are described as the gems of wisdom of Rick Jamieson, who bred Black Caviar, were part of the reason why the decision was made to send her to Written Tycoon, because part owner Neil Werrett said the success of a horse called Old Kirk, which is also by Written Tycoon out of a full sister to Black Caviar, had led them to this decision.
Yeah, that's right. And we saw Ole Kirk return on the track yesterday, I thought, in wonderful fashion. From our research, Ridden Tycoons don't go a yard on wet tracks, and, you know, a heavy nine. I thought he returned in his three-year-old career in tremendous fashion. So I think he's in for a big prep. So, you know, his performance yesterday would have lost no admirers, and the owners of Black Caviar and obviously Neil Werrett wouldn't have sort of shied away from their decision to send the great mare to Ridden Tycoon on that performance yesterday. Mm. So, yeah, you talk about Rick Jamieson and, you know, what he's done it's incredible, his statistics as a breeder to produce, you know, not just, you know, good race horses, but obviously, you know, the best sprinter we've seen. And it's Warren was saying, you know, going through his, Black Caviar's progeny, I was actually looking up, it's hard to believe she's 14 already. You know, it seems like she was just racing just recently.
Yeah, I know, and just running through the names at Produce that she's had so far, there's already a pretty long list of them building.
There is, yes. It sort of seems like she only just went to stud, and it's hard. Yeah, it is hard to keep up, and you pull up her pedigree and all the names of her progeny and what they've done. It's time flies, and as you said, it's great to watch the progeny. Now we've got Winx, you know, going to the breeding barn, and you know, we'll forever be following who they get covered by, and, you know, everyone's got their theories on what will work and what won't, and, you know, do you mate the best with the best, or do you mate it with the best templated matrix, you know, along the lines of someone like a Rick Jamieson. But, you know, we're all in awe of these mares, and, you know, hopefully they can produce one half as good.
So this date Written Tycoon now has with the Black Caviar is an important part of his story in racing. He's now 18 years old, into the twilight years of his career. Amazing to secure a mare of this profile and calibre at that age. What does it do then for his profile from Woodside's point of view?
Look, it's obviously tremendous. We knew how good Written Tycoon was, but to send him up there, it just sort of cements what the Australian commercial market think of him. You know, down in Victoria, I wouldn't have thought we would have quite got an opportunity to cover a mare like Black Caviar, but now the horse is on the doorstep of, you know, these mares. They see him as one of Australia's best. He's obviously a wonderful outcross. Yes, he is in the twilight of his career at the age of 18, but the quality of mare he served just recently in the last couple of years, as he's risen in service fee, I think his best progeny are still to come on the track. So I think, you know, whilst he's 18, I think we'll see him a very commercial prospect for the next sort of 3, 4, 5 years, hopefully.
That's fantastic. And of the rest of his book for this coming breeding season, what sort of mares has he been able to attract now he's in the Hunter?
He's incredible. Talking to John Massara, the type of mares he's attracted is just extraordinary. He's, you know, covering Shoals Dam. He's covering close relations to Shoals. He's covering, you know, really the best mares that the Hunter Valley has to offer, particularly those wonderful Redoute's Choice mares and Flying Spur mares and all those mares that need an outcross. And it's quite extraordinary. And as I said, I mean, there's no reason. I mean, we're only sort of, what are we, probably 1,200 kilometres from the Hunter Valley down here in Victoria. But, you know, sometimes there seems to be some sort of barrier. And, you know, and that's understandable. Breeders like to, you know, go to something that's close on their doorstep. But now that Written Tycoon's there, it's going to give him a wonderful opportunity.
borders in this country, hey, they do really pose a challenge.
haven't they come to the fore just of recent times? Goodness me.
Oh, dear. Well, lucky you got in out of Victoria before all this happened, James. Anyway, not that the movement of horses in that case would have been necessarily affected, but well done. That's great news. Black Caviar going to Written Tycoon this spring. Let's hope he is going to be the answer to her getting a champion on the track.
No doubt he will be.
All right. James Price there, Warren from Woodside, with Written Tycoon, their former Victorian-based banner stallion, now having a date with Black Caviar this spring. Big news for the Victorian breeding industry.
And I think for the narrative of racing, Joe, it can be a little bit harsh at times, but love to see Black Caviar produce a horse that was a high-class performer on the track. It was such great memories of watching her race throughout her career, throughout Australia, and then obviously off to Royal Ascot, but would love to see Black Caviar with a really high-class runner on the track.
Yeah, it would be wonderful, Warren. Great to chat with you this morning. Look forward to doing it all again next week.
Thanks, Joe. Very comprehensive, as always. Joe McKinnon there, talking horses. It's